Behold, the people will arise like a lion cub and raise itself like a lion. It will not lie down until it consumes prey and drinks the blood of the slain. This pasuk from the prophecy of Bilam, Hein am kelavi yakum, v'chariyis nasa, which of course is the source of the name of the Mivtzah of this current war between Israel and Iran, we're witness to the tremendous miracles that Hashem has been doing for Am Yisrael, Hayoshev, Bitzion, and in the whole world. And as we all are witnesses to the heroes of the young men and women of Tzahal, of the IDF, and of Mossad, who have become the vessels, the kalim of Hashem, of the salvation we're seeing, and all the miracles that Mitzvah Hashem will continue to see. And so, of course, everything is Bashgacha Pratis. The Baal Shem Tov taught that everything we ever see in our lives is divine providence, is a way to Hashem talking to us, a way for us to get closer to Hashem and to show us how to serve Hashem better, and how much more so when it comes to an operation like this, which is literally pikuach nefesh for millions and millions of Jews and the non-Jews, the citizens of Israel. How much more so is it divine providence with the name that was chosen for this operation, that of course it has to mean something very deep. And especially since we know that not far from Netanyahu's mind at any point during these days is of course Nasi Dereinu, the Lubavitcher Rebbe of blessed memory. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe's teachings of Hasidus is his inspiration, as he's declared publicly many times. And for us also, we have to understand how Hasidus would teach for us in our own lives, because Hasidus teaches that everything to connect to Hashem, everything has to be in our own lives. How could we all be Am Kelavi Yakum, a nation that rises like a lion? Even those of us that are not engaged physically with this battle with evil have to live now with the pnimius, the pnimiut, the deeper meaning of what this pasuk is teaching us. How could we all fight like lions and live in our lives to be part of this Am Kelavi Yakum, the nation that rises like a lion? So we already find from Chazal, from our sages, that there's a very deep connection between this pasuk, this imagery, this very, very graphic imagery portraying the Jewish people as this rising lion, and Kriya Shema, the saying of the Shema, that although it was Kara Shachav, it was a crouching lion. It was a crouching lion, as the pasuk says a little later. It was a lion that Shachav, it might have been sleeping, but Ukelavi mi ikimenu. Who could stand up like this lion cub, this idea of the lion crouching and getting up and lying down? What is this idea that is being conveyed with this graphic imagery? So if you already look in Rashi, he alludes to the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Beis, that it's the simple reading of the pasuk, that it has to do with the Shema. The sages say that this pasuk, this imagery of the crouching and the rising lion, is not just secondary. It's not just a tafel. It's not just a seemingly random. It's so important that Chazal teaches that bikshu likvaya parshas Bilam b'kriya Shema. The sages had a havamina. They had an idea to maybe put in kriya Shema the whole parsha of Bilam. Why? The Gemara says because of this pasuk. This pasuk of Korah Shochav Ka'ariyucha Lovi Mias Nasa, that crouching lion, rising lion, is so important, so theologically massive, that Chazal thought that, you know, Kriya Shema right now is three parshias. From the Torah, there's the Shema and the Vahayim Shemaya. The sages then added the third one, Vayomer, the Tzitzis Parsha. Why? For Zechias Yitzias Mitzrayim. To remember the Exodus, but there was a Hava, Mina, the Gemara says. Our sages thought maybe to add a fourth Parsha to the Shema, Bilam, this prophecy, these psukim of the nation that rises like a lion, the Gemara says, because of these psukim. And Rashi over there explains what's the connection. So over there on a simple level, at the level of Pshat, Rashi says, what's the connection? Because the crouching, the lying down, and the rising, the getting up, is a hint to Kriya Shema. Of course, it's connected to the Shema. We know that where do we learn out? There's a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema morning and night. B'shachbacha uv'kumecha. When you lie down and when you rise up. B'shachbacha uv'kumecha. So Rashi says that this image of the lion that might have been lying down but is now rising up hints to the Shema because of the timing. At the level of pshat, at the timing, the morning and night, which is the way the Torah gives over the mitzvah of the Shema, b'shach b'chuv kumecha. So that's the connection to the rising and the lying down lion. But we understand there must be something deeper here. It's not just the Chazal wanted to add like a nice image of a rising lion to our saying of the Shema, that they just thought maybe to add this. There's something deeper here. And it becomes even more mind-boggling if you look there in the Gemara, when the Gemara says, and why did Chazal indeed, why did they not add this fourth section, this Parshas Bilam, this Hein Am Kelavi Yakum V'Chari Mis Nasa, this rising lion, why did Chazal not add it to the Shema? Mishum Tircha De Tzibura. Because of the hassle, it would be too much, it would be a hassle for the community. Tircha de Tzibura. We know Tircha de Tzibura is the Chazal word that we don't like to burden in shul and davening. Anything shouldn't take too long. We don't want people to wait for the Torah scroll to be rolled, which is what we like to get it ready before davening. And we like to move things along so the Tzibur shouldn't be waiting. There shouldn't be a hassle. And so in order for the prayers not to be too long, Mishum Tircha de Tzibura, that's Pshat, that's why Chazal didn't add it. Now that itself is very interesting. I mean, all of a sudden Chazal are worried about that we have too much to say. There's not enough, this prayer is all of a sudden Tircha de Tzibura. Everything else we have to, as Yashir and everything else. You know, there's a famous anecdote that they say from the Ger Rebbe, the Pnei Menachem, that he once asked, you know, in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Machzorim, there are so many pages that it always says, you know, many congregations or most congregations omit, you know, and you turn the pages and there always end up being so many pages that, you know, that we end up skipping on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Ger Rebbe said, so just don't publish them. I mean, most congregations end up skipping them anyway, so why do you publish them and you end up turning them? So the Ger Rebbe said, what, not publish them? And take away the geshmak, that geshmak feeling that a Jew has to be able to turn the pages and skip pages. That's a feeling that only a Jew can understand. They have all these pages to say, but if you get to skip a couple of pages, you know, there's no tachnun today. It's a big simcha, it's a big joy for a Jew. And only a Jew could understand that geshmak. So all of a sudden now Chazal are concerned, Tircha de Tzibura, that Parshas Bilam is going to be too long to say. Obviously, there has to be something deeper here. What does that mean, Tircha de Tzibura? So I saw a beautiful teaching from Rabbi Yehoshua Shapira, Zozayin Gesund, the Rosh Hashiva of Ramat Gan, of the Hesder Yeshiva in Ramat Gan, Rabbi Yehoshua Shapira, who I once merited to see in his yeshiva for Breng with Rabbi Yol Kahn, Zechayin Levracha, the Chayzer of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He himself, Rav Shapira, has wrote books, written Svarim about the teachings of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So I saw that he taught this idea a couple of years ago, and I think it's so applicable today. What's the deeper meaning that Chazal wanted? Bikshu l'kvaya parshas bilam and Kriya Shema. What's Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema is the unity of God, Achdus Hashem. And as Chassidus explains, of course, Rabbi Shua Shapir's teachings are permeated with the teachings of Lubavitcher Rebbe. Chassidus explains that Achdus Hashem, what's the true unity of God? Einoid melvadoi, nothing exists other than God. Leisa sarponiminei, there is no place void of Him. Einoid melvadoi, there is nothing but the truth of God. That's the true unity of God. And Chazal wanted to add a fourth parsha, that to see the unity of God, not just in beauty and goodness, in things that are obviously holy and under God's kingship, but even through the parsha of a Bilam, of an anti-Semite, of a genocidal maniac like Balak and Bilam, through them came out a prophecy about the nation that's strong like a lion, that rises like a lion, although it might have been sleeping. And Chazal wanted to add, for the sleeping lion that might have been sleeping, to meditate on the unity of God, even in evil, even in the darkness, for that one has to be strong like a lion. You know, there's a teaching of the Lubavitcher Rebbe The Gemara later on in Brachas and Daf Samach Aleph teaches that when Rabbi Akiva, the holy Rabbi Akiva, was being tortured to death by the Romans as his flesh was being torn from his body with iron combs, as he was being tortured to death, he started saying the Shema. And his students, the Gemara says, his students said to him, Rabbeinu Ad Kan, Rabbeinu Ad Kedei Kach, now you're saying the Shema. And Rabbi Akiva responded, my whole life I used to, when I would say in the Shema the words, Ve'ahavtas Hashem b'chol nafshecha, to love God with all your life, my whole life I was always worried, Masa yovel liyodi v'kaimene, when will I be able to fulfill these words of giving my life for God? Talk is cheap. It's easy to say words, but to authentically live them and actually instantiate them, Rabbi Akiva said, my whole life I wanted to ascend to God in a flame of love. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe asked, what were the students asking? We're talking about Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, students of Rabbi Akiva. Did they not know that there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? Of course they knew there's a mitzvah of martyrdom, of giving one's life for God, to give, that's the meaning of the Shema. They knew this already. This is not the first time Rabbi Akiva is giving them a lesson about what the Shema's about. What were they asking Rabbeinu Ad Kan? And so the Rebbe said, because what the students saw, that Rabbi Akiva wasn't just saying the Shema. It's that he was seeing God in the very Roman executioners that were torturing him. Evil itself, in the raw, in the darkness, Rabbi Akiva was looking at the Roman executioners and saying the Shema at the same time, seeing the Havaya Echad, the true unity of God coming also through the Roman executioners. And that's what the students couldn't fathom. They said, Rabbeinu Ad Kan, you see God in them. And Rabbi Akiva said, yeah, they're just here to make me ascend to God. You could see God in the Roman executioners themselves. And Rabbi Akiva said, yeah, because my whole life has only been a constant desire to ascend to the true unity of God, to reveal the truth of God's unity, that kachashecha ka'ira, that God is in darkness and light equally. Or as we say in that other holiday that happened in Persia, that Oru Haman Baruch Mordechai Ad Lo Yoda, that the truth of God is that there is no difference between Haman and Mordechai. God's unity means that the opposite of Zoroastrianism, the truth of Achdus Hashem, God is equally light and darkness, which is, you know, the most Taoist piece of Gemara we have, like the Tao symbol of the yin and the yang with the white and black, the black dot and the white, black, and the dark. We have that in the Gemara right there, the same Gemara that we at night mention, Chayav Adam Lahazkir Midas Yoim Balayla Midas Laila B'Yoim, that God is in the darkness and in the light equally. We have to mention God at night and in day. And Hashem's unity is through the light and the dark. But to be able to see that, one has to be a Rabbi Akiva, one has to be strong like a lion, like Rabbi Akiva. You know, the holy Kloizenberger Rebbe, Zecherinu Levracha, who lost a wife and 11 kids in Auschwitz, he said, why do we cover our eyes when we say the Shema? Minhag Yisrael, our custom is that we cover our eyes when we say the Shema. And there are many reasons given for it. Of course, the most simple, because we should have more kavana, for more concentration, and there are many reasons given, but the Kloizenberger Rebbe said, because, you know, sometimes to say Havaya Echad, that God is everything, sometimes you have to close your eyes. You have to close your eyes. Sometimes you can't look at something. Some things are way too painful to see God in them. And Rabbi Yeshua Shapira says, that's the truth, what Chazal, that's the deeper meaning of Mishum Tircha Ditzibura. Rav Shapira says that's what the Tircha Ditzibura, that Chazal knew, that to be able to look at the evil and see God even in the evil, to see that God is in the ballistic missiles of Iran, and in Yemach Shmam V'Zichram, the Amalek of today, those Rishoyim, Be'ibad Rishoyim Rina, those wicked people of Iran, God is in them too. To recognize that the same God was with us even at those dark times when we were crouching like a lion, when we were sleeping, when we were asleep on October 7th. That same God is with us now that we're ka'ari mi'as nasa. Who could stand up? Who could rise up like this line, like this nation? So if Shapira says, Mishum tircha de tzibur, it's too much to request of every person to be able to see God in the evil mamish. A Rabbi Akiva could do that, could be strong like that lion. But it's tircha de tzibur, it's way too much for the tzibur, for the masses, for chaye yom yom in day-to-day life to look at God through the evil. In daily life, usually, where do we find God? Like the Rambam says in the beginning of Yesod HaTorah, how do we come to Avas Hashem? We have to look at the beauty of nature. We have to look at the beauty of the world. That's how we usually have to see Hashem. In beautiful and light things, that's the daily service. The faces of the people that we love. But it's tircha de tzibur, it's way too much to ask that we have to find God even in the evil. As part of Shema, to always feel God in the darkness. I once heard from Naftali Lau Lavi, the brother, the older brother of the chief rabbi, Bistro Meir Lau. Naftali Lau Lavi was in a concentration camp, was a survivor. He didn't leave necessarily with all his faith intact, but of course he remained a devoted Jew his whole life. And I once heard he said over, you know, he had a close relationship with the Ge'er Rebbe, with the Beis Yisrael. And he said that one time he was walking, he used to go on walks with the Beis Yisrael, the Ge'er Rebbe, and the Ge'er Rebbe had a deep, fond connection with him. And one time he said the Beis Yisrael, the Ge'er Rebbe just stopped because he knew that this Naftali Lau Lavi had lost a lot of his deeper connection, observance, etc., at least b'chitzonius, through his experience in a concentration camp. And the Beis Yisrael, one time during a walk, he just stopped. And he turned to Naftali and he said to him, "You were there, you saw the smokestacks. You saw the smoke, the crematorium." He said, "Yeah, I saw." And the Ge'er Rebbe said, "Were you able to see God? Could you see God in the gas chambers? Could you see God in the Roman executioner?" And he said to the Ge'er Rebbe, "No, I wasn't able to." And the Ge'er Rebbe cried, and they continued walking, and he never brought it up again. Not every Jew is able to be able to have that emunah in such an easy way, to find God in that, you know. And of course, it's a machlekes rishonim. There were those, the Rambam, the Ramchal, there were those that said that hester panim, that the divine concealment is literal, that God is not there. And there were Jews, holy Jews, that believed that throughout the generations. My babi, my grandmother, blessed memory, who was a survivor of Auschwitz, one time in Tower 41 in Miami Beach, she heard a rabbi say that God brought Auschwitz, and she called me, she was crying. She said all sorts of curses in English and Hungarian. She said, "How could this rabbi say that it was God that brought Auschwitz? Doesn't this rabbi know it was Hitler?" And of course, I never would have dreamed of saying to her otherwise, because of other, besides the fact that there are Torah opinions that held like that, she believed in Hashem like that. But Hasidus teaches an ultimate emunah, which is very hard for actual survivors. As Professor Eliezer Berkovitz says in his book, Faith After the Holocaust, those of us that are Job's brother could never judge Eov, could never judge those that go through the tragedy. But the ultimate emunah and gilui of Chassidus, of Adelai Yodah ben Or Haman LeBaruch Mordechai, is that God is all that exists, even in the evil. Because ultimately, all the evil, the whole existence of the evil is for Yiskad v'Yiskadah Shmei Rabba to be able to show the might and the truth of God through the destruction of that evil. And as the Rebbe says, you know, the famous Medrash, when Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel, the famous story at Mount Carmel, when so many Jews were going after the prophets of Baal, and Eliyahu challenged them, the famous contest with the two cows. That one cow went to the prophets of Baal, and they had 250 prophets, and all day they were cutting themselves and trying to get the fire to come on their cow. And then finally Eliyahu filled up the whole mountain with water, and then the fire came down from heaven, and everyone bowed down and said, "Hashem hu Elikim." And so the Medrash says, when they did the Goyrel, the lottery, which cow would go to the prophets of Baal and which cow would go to Eliyahu, the cow that was chosen to have a dessert, to be slaughtered by the prophets of Baal, cried to Eliyahu HaNavi. It's a very moving medrash that the cow that was about to be slaughtered to have a dessert cried to Eliyahu HaNavi. That it's not fair that that other cow is going to be a korban to Hashem, is going to be offered to God. And the name of God will be sanctified through that cow. Vani alisi lechelak habal Lahachis es Boiri, and I am going to the portion of Baal, of the prophet of Avodah Zarah of Iran. I, for some reason, my part is to be somehow a spark in Iran and the forces of evil. And Eliyahu HaNavi responded and said, Kishem Shishmoy Shalakodesh Baruch Hu Miskade Shal Yad Zeh She'imi Kach Miskade Shal Yodcha. That exactly the same, the Zel Ba'achtus, the same unity of God, is going to be revealed in you by a fire not consuming you, just as the same Kiddush Hashem, the same sanctification of God's name that's going to be revealed through my cow, that's going to go to God, is going to be revealed through you, going to Avodah Zarah. Because there are sparks of holiness even in evil, sparks of God even in darkness, because Einad Milvadoi. And the simcha, the ultimate simcha of Be'ibad Rishoyim Rina, of the joy of the destruction of the evil, is that the sparks of holiness that were in the evil will come out. The gilui of that's the dam chalalam yishta, that's what it means, that when the lion rises, it will drink the blood of its prey. That's the deeper meaning of drinking the blood that Jews do. Not like the anti-Semites throughout the generations, including this machshefa, this Candace Owens yimachshma, that with all her, a modern blood libel, that soon Mashiach's come and all these wicked people will be destroyed. These people that are still today are trying to do modern blood libels against the Jews. What does it mean that Jews drink blood? The Torah says right here, dam chalalam yishteh. That we Jews are able to destroy the wicked and the evil by believing Hashem is in it as much as in the good and the holy. That just like in Torah mitzvahs, there's the truth of God, there's the truth of God in the destruction of evil and in the destruction of darkness and the destruction of the forces of darkness through the miracles of Hashem that Mitzvah Hashem we're going to continue to see. And that means for all of us living in these times that we have to drink the blood of our prey. We have to drink the blood of all those forces of darkness that are trying to keep us away from Hashem. How? By being able to have the strength of a lion. Being able to look at the evil in the eye and say, you too, you people screaming Free Palestine, you think you're going to overcome us, you never will. You too are just another way God is revealing himself in the world by you eventually being destroyed. By us not fearing you and eventually showing you as darkness. Through your destruction will be revealed the sparks of holiness in the side of evil, which is the ultimate revelation of tshuva. Of the repentance that we all have to do. Because ultimately when Mashiach comes, we're going to do tshuva and show that even in times of darkness in our lives, of physical and spiritual darkness, it was all just us sitting on Hashem's lap. It was all just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Me'od Ohev Oti, V'tamid Yeh Lanu Rak Tov. Hashem just wants it to be for us. Od Yoter Tov, Od Yoter Tov. And the ultimate emunah of Kriya Shema, what it means to say the Shema is B'shach Becha Uvkumecha, when we're lying down and when we wake up, when we lie down, when we're sleeping, and when we rise like a lion. A Jew is a Jew at the time of Yeridus and Aliyus, at the times that we fall, both physically, like on October 7th, and spiritually, each and every one of us individually, the times of when we fall, when we crouch, we're as much connected to Hashem as Bishach, as Bivkumecha, as like Hinam Kilova Yokum, as like we're connected to God the same way as when we rise up. In the place of impurity, we're one with Hashem as much as in the place of Kedusha. Because Hashem, Hu Elokim, like the nation said at Har HaKarmel, and any moment again, there's no more Tircha D'Tzibura. We're going to say again soon, us Jews together with the Gentiles, those of our friends that together were with us at this time. We're going to scream, Hashem, Hu Elokim, Hashem, Hu Elokim. God is one in the darkness and in the light. And like Rashi says, we should take upon ourselves, like Rashi says on this Pasuk, that what does it mean that we're like lions, that we wake up in the morning, we say Kriya Shema, and we put on tefillin. And when night we go to sleep, we say the Shema. That we should all put on talis and tefillin every day to bring about the destruction of our enemies. Because the tefillin is vero kol am meretz ki shem Hashem nikru alecha v'yar mimecha. The Gemara says that through tefillin, the nations, our enemies, are afraid of us. So we should all make sure to put on tefillin every day. Wake up like lions. And Mitzvah Hashem, to feel Hashem's goodness in our lives in a revealed way as we continue rising up more and more, each and every one of us in our individual lives, to believe that Hashem is in the darkness, in the light equally. And we'll see that, and even more nationally as a nation, as the Jewish people will continue seeing miracles. And finally, the miracle of all miracles, the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehavir amenu amen.